Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, chill show tonight, because not much is happening in the news, but we have Joe Biden evidently buying votes for the Democrats in the midterms. I think there's no random that this decision comes now, throwing money at the student population. This is something I wish the Republicans would do, not throw money at the student population, but know who your supporters are, and when you're in power, use that power to direct money to the right place, because the Democrats know how to do this, but the Republicans don't. And so the Democrats always end up pulling more from the system, because when you give money to people who have studied in and who have gotten in debt for college, you're catching the poorest population and the most educated poorest population. So you are talking about people, and some of them may be relatively well off, but they are definitely, they have engaged into more debt accumulation into studies, and that makes them almost, I'm guessing, something like more than 95% liberals. Today, more than a proportion of population of more than 95% is probably getting a gift from Biden, precisely because the Republicans, first, they are less attracted to college. They see it more for the market value that it truly is. And so they don't get tempted by it unless they really need to. And on top of it, the brainwashing in the college itself is more likely to make you a Democrat, make you a leftist for longer in your life. So that's how the Democrats win. It's by using their power to have no shame about it and just send money to their support base. The equivalent on the Republican side would be for the Republican Party to send money to churches, for the Republican Party to send money to homeschooling parents, for the Republican Party to reimburse people who choose to home birth. That kind of thing would basically catch a lot of Republicans in the net. But we don't get that kind of reward. We get a decent, low expense government when the right is in power, and we get lavish redirections of money for Ukraine or for the voting base by the Democrats. So we never truly get a right-wing government. We only get a slightly less left-wing government. Doubting Thomas says buying would be preferable, as it would imply that he would be paying for it himself. Well, Biden is buying votes with your money, with the money of the government, but it's still him buying votes, and it is still for himself. It is to remain in power under a Congress that he hopes to be as much Democrat as he can. So that's a very cynical, but straight in your face, I don't care, tactic to buy votes. John, and of course it will participate to the current inflationary drive, because this is just money being thrown into the system. If these people who had those debts could repay it back, there's going to be banks loaning them more money. So you just injected money in the system, but you found a way to inject that money through your supporters first and foremost. You found a way to bias the system so that this money doesn't get spread out into the population. It really only gets to the liberal college attendants. John Drake says, janitors paying for doctors stay in college. Ha, it's sickening. I don't know exactly what you mean, but yes, the janitors, if they don't have student debt, they will end up being part of those who pay, either through taxes or through inflation. They will pay for those people who are studying, sometimes in completely useless fields, other time in fields that are basically setting up cartels for work, such that the only way to work in this domain is to have this diploma. Not looking good today. Shrigalam says, pay for my gender studies degree, bigot. No. All right. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way of receiving support for the show. And alternatively, you can also use Entropy. Someone was sending this article, but in Metro. There's just so much ads in Metro that I don't want to show you the article because it's like ads all over the place. And so I decided to focus on the picture of the article. It's a couple of twin males who have married a couple of twin females, and they had babies. And they were saying that basically their babies genetically are brothers, even if they are from different individuals. Because these individuals are genetic copies, it's the same as if they had two babies for a single couple. That's quite fascinating to think about, that brothers can genetically emerge from completely separate individuals. But that is the wonder of twins and monozygotic twins. And, you know, look at the resemblance down one generation. I mean, the babies look like each other. The mothers look like each other. The fathers look like each other. And there are still people questioning the importance of genetic effects on phenotypes. There are people who are like, what can you truly attribute to genes? Well, pretty much everything. Pretty much every single detail of your face, every single aspect of your body. Unvaxxed Navy sailors face deplorable living conditions while religious exemptions spend. They charge the Navy is also not letting them separate from service, leaving them stuck in gruesome limbo. So they are in a very weird situation where they're getting told, okay, you cannot serve on our boats because you haven't followed the order of getting the vax. And so they find themselves isolated, they have lower living conditions, and they can't even quit, because if they quit, and eventually the courts find that it's unconstitutional to ask for vaccine mandates, then they will have lost their jobs, because the judge will be saying, well, you quit. So you didn't quit because of the vax, you just quit because of some other things. You lost your rights to go back to work. So they have to remain in the Navy. So the Navy doesn't quite want to fire them, it doesn't quite want them to leave, but it wants to maintain them in these low-grade living conditions, less money, less goods, less things to have. Basically, it makes me think about the Gulag and the idea of a camp to re-educate people who aren't leftist enough. It makes me think about this because ultimately, those are basically agents of resistance against the totalitarian medical conception around the vax, and they get punished for it. They lose money, they lose well-being. Matt Damon explains why they don't make movies like they used to. Let's see what Matt Damon has to say. Someone sent this to me.
So I think a scenario lots of viewers can relate to is sitting on the couch on a Friday night, going through the streaming services, cycling through the movies and thinking to themselves, they're not making movies for me anymore. As somebody who's been intimately involved in movie making for 30 years, what are the macro Hollywood conditions behind that sentiment?
Well, so what happened was the DVD was a huge part of our business, of our revenue stream. And technology has just made that obsolete. And so the movies that we used to make, you could afford to not make all of your money when it played in the theater.
So basically saying that the fact that they can't make money anymore on the DVD has totally destroyed the possibility of making a lot of good movies, a lot of movies that would cost rather a high price to produce, but there would be there would be a chance that you would fall within profit still with the DVD, but it's true. We've totally abandoned the physical media, and it didn't get replaced by anything, you know. There is options for streaming, but I don't have the impression that it's as popular. Back in my teenage years, you would go to the video club, they would have walls of VHS and walls of DVD eventually, and everyone wanted to grab the physical thing. But at this point, we have streaming options on Amazon, but it kind of, it doesn't feel right. When I pay, if I have to pay $5.99 to just download an ethereal version of the movie that will disappear from my computer. John Drake says, piracy is bigger than ever. Yeah, I mean, piracy took the place here and took the place well. It's sad. It's sad on the side of the quality of productions, because it's true we don't get movies that are good anymore. Me and Mama JF are just watching movies from the 90s. We're watching Quick Change with Bill Murray. And oh my God, is that good? It's just, even if it's stupid and it's simple, it's still much better than anything that is currently being done. It's the story of a bank theft, a thief who tried to steal a bank, and they run into all sorts of trouble. You don't get this kind of well-constructed script anymore. But I have the impression also that Hollywood has shot itself in the foot. I think they stopped delivering what people liked before. People eventually disconnected from movies, didn't feel that they wanted to contribute to Hollywood, and they started having no shame at doing piracy. Whereas there was an occasion for Hollywood to really produce stuff that people deeply love and that they would not have pirated, because they would have wanted to participate to the collective effort of producing the movie. John Drake says, what about Bob? Is Murray at his best? Try that one. Well, thanks for the suggestion, because when me and Mama JF start watching movies, we watch all of the movies of a given actor or all of the movies of a given director, and we're now down to Bill Murray. So it's very hard to find within Bill Murray what are the interesting ones, what are the bad ones. The IMDb scores are not super informative on this question, so thank you. I'll certainly note, and Mama Jeff, I'm sure, has noted. What about Bob? We'll give it a try. Peter Schiff, somebody has to pay for student loan forgiveness, of course. So the student loan forgiveness plan of President Biden is just $10,000 forgiven to every people who still have student loans. But you have to show that you are making less than $125,000 per year. Well, I guess that's most people. A lot of people think this is like waving a magic wand, poof, the debt is gone, but somebody has to pay, and that somebody is the American taxpayer. Of course, this is expected to be part of the massive budget deficit. This is what will happen. We will have a bigger deficit, continued debt, and we are living on borrowed money with interest. How to qualify for Biden's new student loan forgiveness? So it will be $10,000 for most people, but those people who have had Pell Grants, it will be $20,000. Pell Grants are basically a system of grants for studying that is for very poor people at the federal level. Kenzie says, holy shit, $10,000 per person is massive. It is massive, but it is not as massive as the debt. Compared to the actual student debt of people, it is actually quite small. It is a massive amount of money for you and I, the people who have to work for their money, But for students who have had this money dumped into their bank account, it is actually just a fraction. So I don't think it will solve most people's debt problem. There are some people who have totally abandoned the idea of reimbursing their debt. Of course, these people are condemned never to make money again because they will get run after by the government. But that's a massive amount of money. If you were to send this to every mother who's having a child, if you were to send this to any family that has produced a fourth child or whatever, something like this that encourages birth, we could have a massive demographic correction in America, but we're not getting it. Instead, we're getting your neighborhood LGBT activist who studied in gender studies getting $10,000. I had to clear my voice here. Mama JF says, Groundhog Day, you just need to play piano and read philosophy and make ice sculpture and you get all the pussy. That is pretty much the statement of the movie Groundhog Day. Mama JF was noting how special it is as a message. It is, but is it false, though? I mean, basically, a woman want their man to be producing something, to be active in some way, and to be admirable for some realization, and that's how they choose the best genetic specimen. Doubting Thomas says, JF, is the money going directly to the loan payments, or is it going into the people's bank accounts? I would be very surprised if they deposited this money into people's bank account. I believe it will go to the banks themselves because you cannot trust these leftists. These leftists, you drop $10,000 in their bank account, they're going to go on a spending spree. They won't reimburse the loan. So no, I'm sure it all will be done in the theoretical spheres. But maybe some people might be with, I don't know, private banking entities, special little banks that won't offer this service. Perhaps these people can have it deposited, but I would be very surprised that if they make it a common thing. There will also be a further pause, believe it or not, a pause on the reimbursement of loans up to December 2022, just in time for the midterms. So basically, Biden is saying you don't have to reimburse your student loans until you vote Democrat, and then you'll have to start reimbursing your student loan. So the federal government is paying the interest right now on all loans on a revolving basis every time. So people don't reimburse their loans because they don't have to. It was the whole COVID related pause. He will be extending this pause to December just in time for the midterm. Mama JF says, it's a bit like what JF did to get me. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm playing piano. I'm not making ice sculptures like Bill Murray, but I'm making video. And so I'm not so far from Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. More billions to Ukraine as America falls apart. There is a video clip making the rounds showing President Biden speaking at a recent NATO summit about the $7 billion the U.S. government had at that time provided to Ukraine. Attached to that is another clip showing the horrific state of several U.S. major cities, including Pennsylvania, in California, and Ohio. The video of American cities is shocking. Endless landscapes of filth, trash, homelessness, open fires on the street, drug-addicted zombies. It doesn't look like the America most of us remember. And now there is a supplementary amount of about $3 billion. Well, last Friday, the Pentagon announced that yet another $775 million would be sent to Ukraine. As NTWAR.com reported, it was the 18th weapons package to Ukraine in 6 months. Has this ever been a more idiotic U.S. intervention in history? Has there ever been a more idiotic U.S. intervention in history? It's amazing. 18 different times we have dropped these massive amounts of money. This is also participating to inflation, because for whoever who's selling something in American dollars, you have a bunch of Ukrainians who are getting showered with money, and so they can buy gas, they can buy weapons, they can buy all sorts of things. We were talking yesterday about the amazing rate of failure of Chicago schools, some of them having 0, 1, or 2% of students capable of reading and doing math. Now we learned that there is a equity video in Chicago schools that promotes looting and burning. Looting and burning is a pathway to social justice. That's the message from a video recently added by Chicago Public Schools to its website as a response to perceived economic injustice for blacks. The district calls the video an equity tool, but the reality is it promotes hopelessness. Titled How We Can Win, the video's message is clear. There is no way better to riot, loot, and burn. It sounds unbelievable, but in Chicago schools, it's not.
So, I've been seeing a lot of things talking of the people making commentary. Interestingly enough, the ones I've noticed that have been making the commentary are wealthy black people making the commentary about we should not be rioting, we should not be looting, we should not be tearing up our own communities. And then there's been an argument of the other side of we should be hitting them in the pocket. We should be focusing on the blackout days where we don't spend money. But, you know, I feel like we should do both. And I feel like I support both. And I'll tell you why I support both. I support both because there, when you have a civil unrest like this, there are three type of people in the streets. There are the protesters, there are the rioters, and there are the looters. The protesters are there because they actually care about what is happening in the community. They want to raise their voices, and they are there strictly to protest. You have the rioters who are angry, who are anarchists, who really just want to fuck shit up, and that's what they're going to do regardless. And then you have the looters. And the looters almost exclusively are just there to do that, to loot. Now, people are like, well, what did you gain? Well, what did you get from looting? I think that as long as we're focusing on the what, we're not focusing on the why. And that's my issue with that.
With so much debate experience in my life, I know exactly where she's headed. I know how an argument forms and why you say certain things in preamble. She is about to focus on the why. So she's about to justify looting by saying, look, there's an abundance of digital TVs here. These people have no TV. Why couldn't they take the TV? It's fascinating because she's... She looks like in her setting and everything, it looks like it could be me. Like it could be me on the street talking about philosophy or science. But no, it's her making a case for how we should loot targets, basically.
As long as we're focusing on what they're doing, we're not focusing on why they're doing. And some people are like, well, those aren't people who are legitimately angry about what's happening. Those are people who just want to get stuff. Okay, well then... Let's go with that. Let's say that's what it is. Let's ask ourselves why in this country in 2020, the financial gap between poor blacks and the rest of the world is at such a distance that people feel like their only hope and only opportunity to get some of the things that we flaunt and flash in front of them all the time is to walk through a broken glass window and get it. That they are so hopeless that getting that necklace, getting that TV, getting that change, getting that bed, getting...
I will note that her argument relies on the entitlement to hope, as if you were entitled to have hope in society, and as if your neighbor dangles something that costs a lot, it is kind of a ground for eventually you could take your neighbor's stuff, because he's dangling it in your face and you don't have the means to buy it, so you can take it.
That phone, whatever it is that they're going to get, is that in that moment when the riots happen and if they present an opportunity of looting, that's their only opportunity to get it. We need to be questioning that. Why are people that poor? Why are people that broke? Why are people that food insecure, that clothing insecure, that they feel like their only shot, that they are shooting their shot by walking through a broken glass window to get what they need? And then people want to talk about, well, there's plenty of people.
Do they need TVs? Do they need TVs from Target? We don't have a TV, me and Mama JF. We've never been doing so good. You don't need a TV from Target. You think you need something. That's one of the whys, is the illusion of need. And then the other why is the illusion of entitlement. If we could fix the illusion of need and the illusion of entitlement, you might accept your condition as at least better than your African brothers.
Who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and got it on their own, why can't they do that? Let me explain to you something about economics in America. And I'm so glad that as a child, I got an opportunity to spend time at PUSH, where they taught me this, is that we must never forget that economics was the reason that black people were brought to this country. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile work in...
Well, there was an opportunity at some point where the physical work of some of your ancestors have been serving, and your ancestors, by doing so, have guaranteed themselves a free trip to the US. But now what? Now we live in a meritocratic society where slavery has been banned, and now you will have what you deserve from the economy based on how much you can bring to it. Well, we're not fully in a meritocratic society, but we're at least trying.
In the North.
John Drake says, it looks like she looted a hair weave store. John Drake here calling out the lady as he does not believe that she has grown these hair herself. He thinks that she's... What is it, John Drake? Are you saying that she's a hair hoarder? Are you saying that you're entitled to some of these hair because she's got too much of it?
Understand that? That's what we came to do. We came to do the agricultural work in the South and the textile.
Yeah, look at how she hoarded the hair all in a big ball right here.
Tile work in the North. Now, if I right now decided that I wanted to play Monopoly with you, and for 400 rounds of play...
Yeah, but if you had been left to your own devices, you wouldn't have contributed to a great rising economy. Like, you can look at Africa to give you a measure of how much greatness you would have been capable of if you had been left to your own devices. So don't tell me that European society didn't bring a part of itself in developing America. Because when you do the state of America right now minus the state of Africa right now, you see a difference. That difference is what was brought by the Europeans.
Playing Monopoly, I didn't allow you to have any money. I didn't allow you to have anything on the board. I didn't allow...
Well, now you're allowed, so enjoy.
for you to have anything. And then we played another 50 rounds of Monopoly, and everything that you gained and you earned while you were playing that round of Monopoly was taken from you. That was Tulsa. That was Rosewood.
By the way, most white people do not get massive inheritance. In fact, I don't know what would be the statistic of those people who get absolutely zero inheritance, but it's pretty high. Are these white people who get zero inheritance, they start at the exact same place as you in life in terms of how disadvantaged they have been by past events from 100 years ago. Like I haven't received the inheritance. So all that I did in my life, it relies on my own actions and the fact that I've benefited from good parenting. But then we should ask the question, are black people entitled to good parenting? And if so, who's going to deliver that? Shouldn't it be the parent, not the government?
Wood. There are those are places where we built black economic wealth, where we were self-sufficient, where we owned our stores, where we owned our property.
Wakanda.
And they burned them to the ground. So that's 450 years.
I believe that that is a reference to a historical event of an attack on a black city, but it's been reframed recently as a proof that whenever blacks would rise, they have been oppressed. I think it's a single event, though. I don't think it explains the state of the black community across the U.S.
So for 400 rounds of Monopoly, you don't get to play at all. Not only do you not get to play, you have to play on the behalf of the person that you're playing against. You have to play and make money and earn wealth for them, and then you have to turn it over to them. So then for 50 years, you finally get a little bit and you're allowed to play. And every time that they don't like the way that you're playing or that you're catching up or that you're doing something to be self-sufficient, they burn your game. They burn your cards. They burn your Monopoly money. And then finally at the release and the onset of that, they allow you to play and they say, okay, now you catch up. Now at this point, the only way you're going to catch up in the game is if the person shares the wealth, correct? But what if every time...
Oh, there you go. The only way to be inclusive to the person who hasn't been allowed to win for 400 rounds of Monopoly is to share their property. And if they don't want to share, then you have to get it from them. There we go with the full justification of theft. But here's the thing, lady. You would benefit from being in a in a meritocratic framework for 1,000 years. You would get better. The black community would get better. Just how the Europeans have gotten better in that kind of system. In that kind of system where you get imprisoned for committing a crime, where you don't loot, where you have to work for your money. In that kind of system, Europeans got better. If you cannot engage in this free trade over 1,000 years, and if you always boil it down to we need more, we need it now, and we need it at the cost of violence if necessary, you're going to deprive the black community from an evolutionary force that could have been making them better. So you are making it impossible for us to filter your genetics the way we have filtered our own genetics. You're making impossible for us to farm better genes in the whole community, both on ourselves and on your community. So don't complain if in 1,000 years from now there are ghettos where there's no target, where not a single corporation wants to operate because they've been constantly robbed of everything they stacked in their stores.
You share the wealth, then there's psychological warfare against you to say, oh, you're an equal opportunity hire. So if I played 400...
Well, I would agree with her on this. Let's stop the equal opportunity hires, because yes, it is a form of psychological warfare. Let us stop it as a whole.
100 rounds of Monopoly with you, and I had to play and give you every dime that I made. And then for 50 years, every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood. How can you win? How can you win?
Well, you win just like a poor white people would win in the current world, which is you do like me. You start at going to the grocery store, placing some milk, then you do studies. Maybe you don't do studies, but I did studies. You try to become a biologist. It doesn't work. Then you go back to the grocery store, keep placing milk, and then you take risks in business, in YouTube, in crypto, and eventually you make it. And then you have a farm and you can grow your own food. That is what you do. Pattern Recognizer sends a super chat. He says, do you think you could beat her in Monopoly, JF? I hope everyone is having a great summer. I haven't seen many live shows recently. Well, thank you for being here tonight. And I'm relatively good at Monopoly, but you know how it is. Monopoly is all about Monopoly. It's all about, can you monopolize the market? So basically, the Monopoly is kind of a stupid game a little bit because there's no hard decision to make other than you have to buy everything you encounter. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I was required to take diversity, equity, and inclusion training this week for work. Most insidious was that I had to fill out long-form answers about what I learned, and they seemed to be worded to fish out dissidents. It was quite painful, but let's see if I passed as a leftist. It is so painful. See, maybe you have more resilience to this than me, but I can't. I can't bullshit that I've learned anything. So on that kind of form, I'm the kind of guy who writes, I have learned nothing. You suck. You are inconsistent. You are philosophically irrational. And none of your points should be learned by anyone because then they would learn something wrong. Fuck you with your diversity and inclusion. I'm the kind of guy who won't get hired anywhere because I would do that kind of thing. I mean, it's a test. It's a test of the bending of the will. That's the problem. And there is only one response that a notist give to this kind of test. Fuck you. Fuck you with your attempt at bending my will. Fuck you for testing the ability of your crazy ideas to stomp on my brain and my intelligence. That is what I would write on the little form, and then I would get fired.
You can't win. The game is fixed. So when they say, why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything.
Oh, okay. But why do you burn the neighborhood of someone else then?
We don't own anything. Trevor Noah said it so beautifully last night. There's a social contract that we all have that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us.
Well, not really. I mean, there is no killing of blacks other than by the government, other than when blacks resist police arrest. So she's headed toward justifying looting, which, I mean, you don't own anything because you can't find employment in a Target because Target doesn't want to be in a community where they won't make money. And if they have to repair broken glasses every 6 months, they're not going to be able to be there. They're not going to be able to employ you, and you're not going to be able to stack a little bit of money on the side to buy a property. It's not like it should be hard to buy a property because in your communities, I see the real estate prices are ridiculously low at times. So it's like some houses at some point in the market crash were going out at $3,000. You can have a house at $3,000 in your own community. So for having success, I need to attain $100,000, $200,000, and in fact these days $300,000 for buying a house in a white person's neighborhood. But you can gather 100 times less than this and access property and access a good life. You are extremely lucky, lady, and you don't realize your luck. Hopefully one day you can start making profit from your activities rather than argue for criminality, which will destroy the sense of property in the black community. Landolt Guntram says, black on black crime is a leading indicator, JF, not government works. I don't know that's in response to what. Shelburne says, there are plenty of houses in Detroit selling for $5,000. Yeah, I've seen those. And, you know, they will tell you, well, it's a bad neighborhood. yeah. What makes it a bad neighborhood? Well, there's crime. Okay, so the problem of looting, you see that there are now consequences. You see that even if you don't consider the target yours because it's owned by white people, by looting it, you are destroying the value of your own property. Mexican journalist shot dead hours after publishing story on 43 missing students. A Mexican journalist was shot dead Monday afternoon in southern Mexico, right after making a Facebook post about the 2014 disappearance of 43 students from a nearby area. My God, it is not. It's been a couple of times where we see people engaging with children kidnapping or stories around children and human trafficking, and they get killed in bizarre circumstances. That's really too bad. Breaking: Marjorie Taylor Greene swatted at home early Wednesday morning. Apparently, some troll made a prank call to emergency services. That sucks because it is dangerous. And the left is using this a lot. The new trolls of the bread tubing internet, they really find this funny, you know, using the force of the state to intimidate political opponents, sometimes a Tim Pool. I mean, it gives you an idea of just how leftist these swatters are, that they consider Tim Pool a conservative personality, so they want to attack him using swatting, and now they've done Marjorie Taylor Greene. California, and by the way, if I remember correctly, Tim Pool had been targeted by swatting back in the days of his interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene. So there may be some relationship here. We may be faced with the same kind of clown. White sends $101. Wow. I can already buy a house in Detroit just with the white super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Jeff, I was thinking of white sounds to get you to say when I realized the word one has a white sound in it. Therefore, the words 101 has two white sound in it. Thus, I have decided to send you 100. There are too many H's. There are too many hidden H's. You have totally bugged my brain. I'm like blue screen Windows 95 at this point. To send you $101 to hear those many white sounds. Well, thank you. It is very hard to pronounce H, W, H in that way without having a vowel to follow up, like we or why. Just doing the WH sound is extremely hard, but you cut me. You cut me with the hidden ones. California DA admits 70% of suspects released on $0 bail committed new crimes. Can you believe this? This whole program is meant to reintegrate people to society, not have them live through the jail system, which, according to leftists, turns people into criminals. But no, it's like, if you send them back on the street with $0 bail, that is, they don't have any commitments to keep peace, and or they don't have any consequences if they break peace, they end up at 70% committing crime. So that is the cost of not having law enforcement and having a philosophy of we won't punish crime. You end up with a lot more crimes. Great Reset: Macron proclaims the end of abundance, says sacrifice necessary to defend freedom. This is all bullshit. It's the discourse that you will increasingly see. It will be hidden in the form of perhaps environmental concern, but the reality is that the environment is not going to be made better by this kind of leftist attack. Your wealth will be redirected to Ukraine and to whatever expansion of globalism cause is the fashionable cause at the time. So they will ask us to make sacrifice, but there will be abundance somewhere else. It's just, we are currently, I was thinking about this, and this is an important text. I was thinking about transfers of civilization. Like, see how there were technocratic managers of the Bolshevik system, and they were Jewish, many of them, and they have moved to America. I was thinking about these things in relation to this absolutely amazing E. Michael Jones article on UNS called Who Killed Daria Dugina, published 2 days ago. E. Michael Jones, you have to give it to him. Sometimes he's just right on target. And this article expresses my view so well. It's put in much better words than I could ever find. He's explaining that basically Alexander Dugin has been breaking the Jewish taboo. He's been engaging on the question of Jews and their roles, their historical roles in certain historical movements, including Bolshevism and eventually technocracy in America starting in the 70s. And E. Michael Jones makes a beautiful description of this whole history. And I was wondering if in this whole transfer of money to Ukraine, to what extent is the American empire being dropped behind? I don't think it will happen on a short term, but over the next 200 years, will we see the technocratic elite, the globalists, and perhaps even some Jews, find America to be undesirable to live in anymore? I'm wondering about this. And perhaps they would do as they have done with Russia and flee it. I think there has to be a moment at which America is abandoned, because it has, for now, America, with its military interventions in the Middle East, have had their function for Israel. They have played their role. They have been a good tool. But I think there will be a point at which America is not useful anymore to the Israelis. And then what happens? I think we'll see a massive transfer of money, a basically run with the money kind of behavior. And it will be in the form of moving out production, moving out state money, moving out private property, until there is nothing attractive left in America. But I mean, somehow it's a good news because I don't care about inheriting the wealth. I care about the land, and I care about just living, having a good life. I don't care about having massive amounts of money. But that is something I definitely recommend reading. Who killed Daria Dugina? E. Michael Jones does not provide an answer, but he shows that, you know, in line with every aspect of American policy for the last 40 years, geopolitically, it would be surprising that this doesn't ultimately relate to how American intelligence services, American military, and American government have been teaming up to serve Israeli interests in the past many decades. And I think he's right on the target. And he finishes with the sentence, he finishes with a beautiful sentence saying that basically the people who have started this war, Anthony Blinken, Zelensky, all of these guys, Kolomoisky, they killed Dugina, no matter who pulled the trigger. So this death is on the shoulders of the elite who have initiated this war, who have wrapped it up, who have kept it active when it could be done already. And doesn't matter if they didn't order directly or pull the trigger, they have funded the killing of Dugina. Biden White House directly facilitated the FBI Mar-a-Lago raid. So we were told by Joe Biden that he had no idea about the FBI raid. I mean, technically, that might be true that he had no idea about the raid, but he caused the raid. That is what we learn. He caused the raid because he was asked by the FBI, the DOJ, and the National Archives to determine if Trump's access to these documents, these classified documents, should be reverted. And his answer was to delegate the decision to some of his lackeys, some of his underlings. And he said, I cannot be accused of taking that decision. So here, you do it. I trust you with the decision. Go away and take that decision. So basically, it's a White House Democrat agent who ended up making the declaration that these boxes of classified documents must be recovered because they don't belong to Trump anymore. So basically, you have a causal route between why Trump got raided and why there was a justification created to raid him. It was this delegation to Jonathan Su, a White House deputy counsel by Joe Biden, because of course, if Joe Biden had taken that decision directly, he would be seen as a political oppression. But if he washes his hands, then Jonathan Su did what he had to do to cause the raid. See, yesterday I was talking about how I don't want to have a heart surgeon who's been accepted as part of a program where he's not quite as smart and not quite as knowledgeable as your regular heart surgeon, but he's been accepted because of some minority points. Look at this. Penn Medical School expands minority candidate program that does not require MCAT. So basically, you will have minority students in these programs who will have access without demonstrating that they have a good performance in school. Now, we will find ourselves with some of these people becoming doctors, prescribing medication, doing surgery maybe. It's extremely dangerous. I know that doctors are over-selected, okay? but you never know just how much errors, how much deaths will be caused if we were to lower our IQ standards for doctors. No one knows the answer to this because we've never tried. Because we've always thought, look, medicine is important enough that we're going to take the best. And we're going to do the best we can. Now, in a dream world, there would be a future in which we can sue. We can sue the government for, hey, you knew you were not taking the best people. And it ended up hurting me. And therefore, I have a legal claim. But this future won't happen because judges will never want to declare a harm done by a diversity program. But in a just world, you could have all of the victims of medical injuries and medical malpractice. They could go back and sue the government for allowing this kind of people to make it into medical school. Mama JF says, being a doctor must be a freaking headache. Yes, it is. It is kind of it's something that a mind like mine wouldn't like to do. Like just cataloging and listing symptoms. Oh, okay, you got this, you got this, you got this. Well, then you need this. It's very robotic. It's not very creative. But I mean, when they start thinking physiologically and when they start thinking, oh, okay, you have blood pressure issues, you have this, you have this. Maybe this medication might address all of it at the same time. There is some amount of creative thinking as part of the doctor work, but not enough for me. Biden orders airstrikes on Iran-backed groups in Syria. That's an interesting front of the war because basically it's a war against Russia again. We are at war against Russia basically on every front we can. And now a new front is opened. Well, Syria strikes have always been requested by Israelis. So here President Biden is delivering, just like every single president in the rememberable past has been striking Syria at the request of Israel, so Biden does not differ. He is like Trump in that sense, in that he talks to Israeli interests, but it's also interesting from the perspective of Russia and how Russia has certain positions in Syria and they are trying to defend Syria from this aggression. So maybe it will increase our amount of friction with this country that we've already developed from Ukraine. Complaint filed to remove the judge behind the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. I think it's a long shot, but it's the Tea Party Patriot Action, which is asking to remove Judge Reinhardt for allowing the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. Very little chance that this will pass. Very rare that judges are found to be in conflict of interest or to have acted unethically. And normally it will happen when a judge literally, like, he owns a company that benefits from his decision and then he makes the decision. But if you're just talking about, oh, making the wrong call, typically, judges get away with it without ever being punished, which is why we ended up with such a corrupt judiciary. It's because there are no consequences. There are basically never consequences. Tsunami of shutoffs. 1 in 6 U.S. homes are behind on power bills. At least 20 million households, or about 1 in 6 American homes, are behind on their power bills. People are getting their electricity cut. And I didn't know this, but natural gas is a massive amount of your electricity production. Natural gas fuels about 40% of the US power grid. That is not a good place to be because natural gas has been spiking in price. If 40% of your electricity is produced with natural gas, you don't want to start a war in Ukraine that has the kind of consequences it has had. Very dangerous decision making here, because now you find yourself. Adair says, I thought it was 80% win power. You must be trolling, bro. You must be trolling. But look at the peaking of natural gas prices. In 2000, they were at 120. Well, that's the electricity cost, $125. Doubled since then. Natural gas prices around 2 air. That was in 2019, 2020. So that was the Trump era right here. So Trump, Biden. Yeah, at some point, I mean, the leftists inevitably will, I mean, there has to be a point at which they say, all right, we cannot afford voting Joe Biden anymore. We can't pay our electricity bill. Hopefully that realization happens soon. New York Times accused of racism by its own staffers. Oh, that is a beautiful graph and a beautiful claim. You know how the left is in denial of racial differences in intelligence and all these things? So if you deny that there are different levels of intelligence across races on average, then your black employees and white employees should be reviewed and achieve the same levels of performance, right? If they don't differ by IQ, they don't differ by any measurable outcome, then they should be as performant at work. But the performance evaluations at the New York Times, look at them. Whites are systematically overperforming Asians, Hispanic, and Black or African-American individuals. So New York Times rates in 2018 its employees white, Asian, Hispanic, Black. White, Asian, Hispanic, Black. White, Asian, Hispanic, Black. White, Asian, Hispanic, Black, and the average rating of their job performance between 3 and 4. You can see that there's been an effort to prop up the Black population here. Between 2018 and 2021, the Black employees have been rated increasingly higher and higher, but still not as high as the white. Quite amazing. So what causes this, New York Times? And so if you are denying differences in race, differences in IQ across populations, then nothing else than New York Times racism can explain this discrepancy. So will the New York Times acknowledge its racism, or will they just give 3 points to other races so that everyone ends up equal? We'll see. But that is the current claim of some employees who are demanding that this stops. DK Shadow says they need to deal with their own internal racism before lecturing everyone. Yes, that would be what you hear in a CRT class. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining me. And we are the 24th. I don't think I have much on schedule. I don't know what it will look like in the fall. Wouldn't it be fun if we could find some debates, get some action, get some mimetics going? It will be, the fall is always more active than the summer, more viewership, more interest in politics. We should try to expand our viewership a little bit, but I haven't developed a specific plan. Yeah, it would be great to have Semi Ogog, maybe get some guests in the fall. Yeah, summer has never been a great moment for meme magic, but hopefully we can surf on the political waves this fall and get some guests, grow the Odyssey. I think that Odyssey has stabilized in terms of its performance. Mama JF is requesting Ray Murasan. She she breaks my brain every time she comes here, but we can have her maybe. Bye bye. Thank you.